We know that He will put more on us than we can handle because He wants us to depend on Him. And so many times we will believe that lie. And so we want to make sure that we do it. Can y'all just bring the lights up a little bit on me? Not because I want them to see me, but I can't see my notes. And so sometimes it just messes with me if I just know I can't see them. So just being completely honest with you. So the thing of it is that we've got these things that we believe sometimes that God never said, but yet we've put so much trust and faith into them that we begin to then develop our belief in God around them. And then when they don't work out because they're not really true and He never said them, then we find ourselves mad at God. And really, it's not Him that we should be mad at. It's us and our culture that we find ourselves in. And so we're going to dig into today one of those things that I think is really key for us to be able to understand. It's the lie that it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do, you know, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, right? Anybody ever heard that? It doesn't really matter. Yeah, so I mean, we've kind of lived by that in a lot of different ways. And so before we get into it, let's just do something to lighten it up just a little bit. So what I want you to do, I want you to look at the person to your right. All right, look at the person to your right. If you're on the end, just look at the person in front of you or behind you or whatever. All right, so now look at the person to your left. All right, look at them. Look at them really good now. All right, now what I want you to do is I want you to point to the one that you think is the biggest sinner. Yeah, a lot of you are pointing at yourselves, and that's you're punking out on me because, you know, it says, yeah, that's, I get it. Y'all went all Jesus on us. I'm the biggest one. Yeah, I get it. Whatever. Listen, it's hard to look at somebody else and say they're the bigger sinner, right? It's hard for us to do that. In fact, I think it's kind of what we would look at as one of those unpardonable sins in our culture to ever call someone else a sinner. To ever look at somebody else and call what they do a sin. I think in our culture we've become so desensitized to it, and that we've allowed our culture to make us feel bad about ever thinking and calling something wrong. That's wrong, right? It's just one of those things. Listen, you ought to get you ought to be the guy that's supposed to do that. It's hard sometimes. You know, it's hard to look at somebody and say, you know what, the reason that we're sitting here and the reason that you're experiencing what you're experiencing is really because of the life that you're living. See, I get it, because sometimes I have to look in the mirror and say, Ron, the reason that you're living the life that you're living is because of your sin. The things that you're experiencing is because, dude, you just don't have it right. And listen, I have that conversation way more than you probably think. And I think we should, if we're all honest in the room, we all have that. We know that there are just things in our lives that we allow to be there. And when we do, then we end up having to reap the consequences of that. And that's hard to do. And so we want to point the finger and we want to find all kinds of other reasons and people to blame it on. But sometimes we just got to be able to do that. And our culture has gotten to the point where it said, you know what, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you're not hurting anybody. And listen, God never said that. And He never made that the way that we should live. And so I think about the time when Jesus lived, and probably the biggest cultural value of the time when He was on earth walking here was justice. You know, it was the eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth, and it was making sure that whatever was wrong was dealt with and that there was a penalty for that. But I think that if we were to look at our world today, the biggest cultural value, we could probably make the argument for this, it might be tolerance. That we've said we have to be tolerant of everything. And see, what's happened is the word tolerant has totally changed, even where it used to be, you know, that we should be tolerant of people. Now we've got to where we have to be tolerant of behaviors and actions. And we've totally taken the people out of it. Tolerance used to mean that people have equal value, that we were all the same, and so you treat each other the same, even though we have to look at each other and know that there are some things in our lives that shouldn't be there. But now we've given more value to the behaviors and the things that we do than to the person that it is. And it's created even deeper rifts within who we are and who we are as a culture. And culturally, we've kind of watered down and sanitized even what would be sinful terms, right? We've taken things that would once have kind of pointed to the actual truth of the behaviors and the things that we do, and we've made it soft. I mean, think about just if we would just take sexual sin, right? That's a very common thing right now. But if we take sexual sin and we look at pornography, see, we don't like to call it pornography anymore. We call it adult entertainment. Doesn't that sound a whole lot better? I mean, it just makes it kind of sound fun, right? But guess what? It's still pornography, right? It's still what it is. It used to be that people committed adultery, right? Adultery was this word that we used, but that's such a harsh word that now we've changed it to they having an affair, right? And so having an affair seems so much softer and kinder than to call somebody an adulterer. And so we've softened that down as well. And then we think about how premarital sex used to be this very taboo thing, right? And if you call it premarital sex, it sounded like it was something that you shouldn't do, but now we just call it fooling around. And so everybody fools around, right? So it softens it out and takes it into a whole different context. And so now it seems so much kinder than if we were to call it what it is. And so we've gotten into this habit of just making things so much easier to swallow that now we've taken them and we've turned them into something that when the Bible calls it wrong, we've made it right in so many ways. Listen, God never said that it didn't matter what we do as long as we don't hurt anybody. Because the truth is, when we do something wrong, it hurts somebody. When you are on the other side of the sexual sin, it hurts somebody. When you're on the other side of addiction, it hurts somebody. When you're on the other side of treating people unkindly, there's somebody on the other side. It always affects somebody else, no matter how much we want to make it seem so much softer. And so what I want us to do is kind of look at some how this affects us and the way that saying and believing that it doesn't matter what we do can affect how we live our lives. There are three cultural misbeliefs about sin that we need to understand in order to help that make this real for us. The first one is that we tend to think and we want to believe that I'm not a bad person. Right? And we say that a lot. Oh, they're not a bad person. Can I just be honest that we're all bad, right? I'm bad, and you're bad, and the Bible says that we've all fallen short. So all, you know, even if you look it up in the Greek, it means what? All, you know that. And I mean, it just works that way. There's no exceptions to that. We all fall into that category. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, says if we claim to be without sin, right? Because some people want to pretend like they've got it all worked out. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know what that, when the truth's not in you, you know what you are? You're a liar, right? Right? When I try to pretend that there's nothing wrong with me, guess what? I'm a liar because there are things wrong. I fall just like anybody else. I can't pretend that I don't because I do. And so it often comes down to the point where we begin to believe this lie, I'm not such a bad person. And what's happened is we've compared ourselves to somebody else, right? Like I can look around the room, I can think, you know what? I'm not such a bad person. Y'all think about that and get it after a while because you're going to wonder if I was talking about you. But anyway. So, because you're looking at me saying, well, I'm not such a bad person either. If I compare myself to Ron, because he talks about how bad he is all the time, right? I'm just the honest one in the room that has to stand up in front of all y'all and tell everything that I do. But anyway, y'all are just not in it today, are you? Right? How about those Panthers? Yeah, see, y'all cheer for that. Won't even cheer for that. Anyway, all right. So, I was trying to be positive about the Panthers for once, and y'all didn't even give, you missed your shot. And you may never get that one again. Anyway, so let me just think about this. I'm not a bad person. That's just not true, but because we all fall. Here's how we do it, right? I do this. I like to use this illustration, but so if you have ever told a lie in the room, raise your hand. Right? Okay. And the people that don't have their hand up, look at them and call them out. Tell them call them what they are. They're a liar because they just told a lie. All right. So most of us, right? So how many of us have ever taken something that didn't belong to us? Right? Because I know y'all get those nice You Are a Community Church pins at home, because they all disappeared. I don't know. So went somewhere. So everybody complains about the pins we put in the back of the chairs. Lord, if we put in good ones, y'all would take them all home and we wouldn't have any. If you really want to write something, bring yours from home. Anyway, so we all, most of us have lied, most of us have stolen something. And so how many of us have looked at somebody lustfully? Y'all are a little slower on the hands on that one, because wife's sitting beside you, you know, it's like, you know, come on, tell her you were 14 or something, and it's okay. All right, so we've all done it, right? So guess what? If we've all lied and we've all stolen something, we've all looked at somebody lustfully, you know, the Bible says that, you know, that if we've looked at them lustfully, we've committed adultery, right? So that makes us all a bunch of lying, stealing adulterers, right? That's just the honest truth about who we really are when we get down to the bones of it, that none of us are good. And we got to quit walking around church. Listen, the church has got to quit walking around like it's got it all worked out. People are not looking for that. They're not looking for the perfect thing because they know they can't be perfect either. But I will tell you that they are looking for the one who can make them perfect. They are looking for the one who gave his life for them. They don't know that necessarily, but when they see it in you and me, that we know we're not perfect and we live it out and we do our best to follow him, then they see him and they want him in our lives as well. We've got to be honest. We can't keep believing that we're not a bad person. We all struggle. We all make mistakes. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and God is faithful. He is faithful, y'all. He's always faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you're tempted, he will also provide a way out. Listen, we may be bad people, but he does good things in the midst of who we are. He helps us in those things, and so he'll give us a way out of that. Romans 3, verse 10 says, there is no one righteous. No, not even one. So let's just get over it. And let's be real about this, that we're all sinful in the eyes of God. See, you may think, man, you know, Ron's a pretty good guy, right? He might think I'm good and I'm really nice and all that. How about going and riding with me right after this? Kind of on 24, 27. And you'll realize that I'm a pretty bad guy sometimes. But anyway, so just ask my wife. She'll tell you. So we're all bad, right? The second thing that we sometimes believe is that all sin is the same. You're thinking, well, wait a minute. All sin is the same, Ron. You've said that all sin is the same. You've said that there are not classes of sin. Listen, let me tell you that all sin has the same penalty. All sin has the same penalty. Unforgiven sin has the penalty of death. See, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All sin has the same penalty. But there are some differences when it comes to what sin will do in our lives and how it affects who we are and how we live our lives. It affects a lot of different ways. And so we need to be able to understand that all sin is not the same. Even though you say, well, Ron, well, you do this, but I do that, so I'm, you know, that's no worse. Let me just be honest with you. There are some levels to it. Scripturally, it tells us that there are some ways that we need to be able to look at it. We need to understand that it affects how we live, and it influences greatly. Here's how those things affect us. It affects the consequences here on earth. See, the way that we have to understand is that we look at things differently. And the way that it affects how we are treated here on earth is true. Can I just tell you that most of you, as a church member, you probably are never going to want to fire me as your pastor for being a glutton, right? Thank God you're not going to fire me for being fat, okay? I'm just being honest. Probably never going to. You may think about it, but you probably aren't. But the moment that any of you found out that I had an affair with another woman that's not my wife, you would want to fire me, right? Adultery, that's right. That's right. Thank you. If you found out I was an adulterer, you would want me to not be here, I'm sure. Right? So what's the difference? If sin is the same, so being a glutton, if you don't want to fire me for being overweight, then why would you want to fire me for being an adulterer? Right? So let me just tell you that no, I have not committed adultery. Can I just be honest with that? All right? I'm not about to confess any sin in front of you. So that's the thing. So sin does have different consequences, doesn't it? Right? So we need to understand that though sin is the same, there are consequential differences when it comes to how we are treated and how we are responded to here on earth. How we live influences also our rewards in heaven. It affects the rewards that we get eternally. And then it affects our punishment in hell. Now, can you imagine hell being worse than hell, right? But look at what the scriptures teach us about those. Here's what it says in Luke 20, verse 47. It says that the Pharisees devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers, all right? These men will be punished more severely. Right, that means that there's a worse punishment, right? That special place in hell, we say that for... Now, I don't know that it works the way that we say it does sometimes, but certainly I think it does the way that Jesus says it does. That those who make a mockery out of who he is and those who treat people differently and wrong in his name, I think there is a special place for them, all right? John 19:11 says, therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Right? So there is a greater sin than another sin. That there is something worse. And again, it goes back to the spiritual side. You need to understand that the spiritual side that we sometimes take so lightly, these are the things that often that drive the biggest wedges between us and God. We've got to look at it seriously and take it very seriously. That there are things that affect us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. See, here's when we get to sexual sin. It says, he writes to him, he says, run from sexual sin. No other sin is so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Right? I mean, so often Paul says, you know, to get away from, you know, don't have anything to do with, da-da-da, you know. But on this one, man, he says run. Many times he'll say resist. Many times he'll say fight against. But for sexual sin, he says run from it. Run, Forrest, run. Right? Don't look back. Don't stop. Just go. And so often this is the one that we kind of run to. But there are differences. We've been believing that it doesn't matter what we do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. And let me just tell you, I think we miss the fact that what we do hurts a lot more people than it does. It affects those around us greatly. So number one, we believe that I'm not a bad person. Listen, we're all bad. Number two, that all sin is the same. And we got to be honest, there are some that are more difficult and more harsh than others. And then number three, since this is the one we believe, and listen, you can't believe it, since I've already done it, I might as well keep doing it. Since I've already done it, I might as well keep doing it. Does that just sound as dumb to y'all as it does to me? But can we be honest? I'm guilty. I've thought it. Man, I'm already here now. Might as well do it. Right? I ain't get caught that time. Might as well. I guess I can probably get away with it again. Might as well keep doing it. Might as well keep trying it. Maybe I could try a little bit more. Maybe I could take it a little bit further. Can I just tell you, that's one of the biggest misbeliefs that we buy into, and it gets us into so much trouble. It's one of the reasons I struggle with drinking so much. I don't struggle with drinking. It's why I struggle with what the Bible says and what I tell those around me. See, I can't tell you that the Bible says to not drink. It doesn't say don't do it, right? And so I'm never going to tell you that you can't, because that's not for me to decide for you. But it is up to the Holy Spirit to tell you what you are to do and what you're not to do. And for some of us, the Spirit's going to say don't do it. For some of us, it's going to say it's okay, but here's the problem I have with it is that sometimes when one or two are okay, then all of a sudden six or eight become okay. Sometimes one glass just calms me after work. But before long, you know, three or four glasses are what it takes to get me calm again. You see, my dad told me one time, he said, Ron, be careful what you try, because you never know what you might like. I just got to tell you to be careful what you try, because you never know what you might like. He may not even remember ever telling me that, but I tell you, that's one of the greatest pieces of advice he ever gave me. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I've tried to adhere to that as much as possible. There are things that I've never done in my life strictly because I was at the moment. It was right there, and I said, you know what? I'm not taking that chance. So maybe for you and for me, listen, we need to think about this. Since I'm already done it, I might as well keep doing it. No. See, if you're already having sex outside of marriage, listen, here's what the Bible says, that it's wrong. So stop it. Right? If you're already, you know, doing whatever and you're allowing something else to control you, whether it's something that you're smoking or something that you're drinking or whatever, stop it. And maybe you're not capable of stopping it yourself. That's why we're doing Celebrate Recovery, y'all. We're about to institute that program into our church, and it's going to become part of our community so that we can help people who are dealing with hurts and habits in their life that they just can't seem to get away from. It's not just about drinking and drugs. It's not just about pornography. It's not just about betting. It's about dealing with just stuff in our lives, and there is an ability to overcome it and let God be all that He can be in you through it. We're going to do our absolute best. I told you. It was coming, and we're going to do it. If you want to be part of that and help us, we'd love for you to be a part. If you need to come and just be a part of the recovery process, listen, you need to come. There's not going to be any judgment there. It's going to be, that's what we're all going to be there for, is to do it together. But we got to quit thinking, since we've already done it, well, I just might as well keep on. You know, stop. Or find some way to stop. There are ways. The Bible says this in Romans 6, verse 1, says, Paul's writing, he says, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? You know, hey, I'll just keep doing it. God will keep forgiving me. You know, it just makes Him look even better because he helps me overcome it. Now, that's not what it's about. He says, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Listen, it's time to get out of it. And you may not be able to do it on your own. That's okay. None of us can do it on our own. None of us without the power of God working in us can come out of something like that. So we want to help find a way to let Him do that in you. We'll be there to help you just as much, maybe not as much as He will, but we'll be there to help. That's what we do for each other. See, oftentimes we think that church, we've gotten this mindset that if we know more, then we'll be better off. If I know more, I won't fall into things. If I know more, I won't do these things. See, one of the things that drives me nuts in the church is when people keep saying, Ron, I just want to go deeper. I want to get deeper into it. Ron, I want to be fed more. You know what? I think if we're all honest, we may be at a place where we've had way too much feeding and we've just become gluttons ourselves on spiritual stuff and we've not done anything to exercise it off. I like that analogy. That's kind of cool. See, spiritual maturity is not about how much we know. It's about how much we obey. See, I know a lot of people that know a lot about the Bible, can quote you scripture after scripture after scripture. Blow me away when it comes to quoting scripture. But when it comes to living it out, their life is a nightmare. So it's not about what we know. It's about what we obey. It's about what we do. The problem with most Christians in our culture today, they are educated beyond their level of obedience. We've become so smart, but we're willing to do so little. Listen, quit trying to learn more and just try to take what you know and just put it into practice. If we'll just do that, I promise our lives get better. I know all the things. There's so much more I can learn and all that, but I know what God wants me to do. I know what He wants me to do every day. But there are days where I just don't do it. And you know why? Because I don't want to. I mean, just being honest, it's just an effort. Do we want to obey? Do we want to take what He's given us and help us obey? Listen, it's not about what you know. It's not about what you do, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. The truth is, it does matter what we do. We need to learn to live this out in front of who the world is and who they believe Christ to be so that they can see Him for who He truly is. So what is it that you know that you don't do? I mean, sometimes that list is longer, way longer than the list that we do, right? We know a lot. Some of us in here, man, we've been in church for a long time. But how much does our obedience match up with what we know? I think the world's looking for us to show not our knowledge, but our obedience. That's what's going to make a difference. We can talk them to death, but until we live it out in front of them, man, they're just not going to buy it. Now, I know I believe that there are people in the room today who just, they're wondering and they're seeking. They just want to see it for real. And you've got people in your life, every single one of us does, that wants to see that. So are they seeing it in you? Are they seeing it in me? We have to be honest and ask ourselves. So that's hard, right? That's deep. That's heavy stuff. Y'all are all wanting to get out of here right about now. I know. I feel it. I'm kind of getting a little squirmy up here myself. But there's good news. There's good news to it all. Right? The fact that there is a God who loves us and understands that we're all jacked up, messed up. He gets it. He understands it. And so because of that, He was willing to do something for us to help us with that. That we are all bad. That sin is not all the same. And that, you know, even though we're doing it, you know, we don't have to do it anymore. That's the thing. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price for that sin. See, the sin, the only unpardonable sin is the one that's never confessed. It's the time when we don't accept Jesus for who He is and allow Him to be the one that changes us so that we don't have to live out this messed up way anymore. The only unpardonable sin is to die without Jesus in our lives. without ever experiencing His forgiveness. Because once we've taken the last breath, there is no difference then. There's no going back. There's no confession. Right? But the good news is that as long as we have breath, we have the opportunity to experience His full forgiveness. And to die knowing that we belong to Him. See, that scripture in 1 Corinthians says, "And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." He provides a way out of our mess. He provides a way out when you and I find that we are there and that things are not like we really want them to be. He provides the way out so that when more is on us than we can bear, He brings us out from under it through His Holy Spirit. He loves us so much that He does that for us. It's good news, y'all, that no matter how messed up we've been and how much we haven't obeyed, that even in our disobedience now, we can recognize it and something can be done about it. To me, that's like the best news all day. That's even better than if the Cowboys were to fire them all and draft 53 new players, right? That's good news. That He cares about us and He's given us a new hope. The reality is sin does cost us, but Jesus is bigger than our sin. We look at this verse in 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Right? If we say we don't sin, man, we got a problem. But here's what I love about verse 9. He says, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know what God just did in His Word? He just obligated Himself to forgive me and you. He just obligated Himself that if we'll confess our sin, that we'll honestly be clean before Him and just open it up and lay it on the table in front of Him and confess it as what it is, that He'll forgive it and that He'll make us right. The best news of all. Somebody came in here with something today that you thought you couldn't be forgiven of. And you're sitting there thinking, no way, Ron, this isn't going to work. But at His Word, He says He's faithful, and if you'll confess it before Him, He'll forgive you of it and make you righteous before Him with it. Today, there's nothing in the room. There's nothing that any of us have done that He won't forgive if we'll honestly confess it to Him. I promise. If I showed you a video clip of Cam Newton throwing a touchdown pass to Christian, what's his name? McCaffrey, yeah, whatever. If I showed you a picture of Cam Newton throwing a touchdown pass to Christian McCaffrey and watched him run down the field, you guys would start screaming and hollering, wouldn't you? Some of you, come on now, I know. Some of y'all bleeding that weird blue. But here's the thing. I just told you that no matter what you've done, that no matter how bad you think it is, that if you came in here this morning and you came and confessed it before God and laid it out there, that He would forgive you of it and make you righteous before Him, and not one of you made a peep. I don't want you to cheer for me. I want you to cheer for yourself. I want you to cheer for the person beside you who's been struggling all week with their life. I want us to get excited about the gospel, that it changes us and it changes the people around us. When are we, as not just as you are a community church, but when is the church just going to finally say, you know what, enough is enough. Let's get excited about this. And let's just say, you know what, let's just start telling people. And if they don't listen, that's not on us. That's on them, but let's be genuine about it. Let's live it out in front of them. I'm going to preaching today. Somebody once told me, they said, Ron, I really, and if I quote this wrong, they'll forgive me, but it was something to this effect. Ron, I really like you as a pastor because I really believe that what you say, you believe. And can I just tell you, I do believe that with all that I got. I believe that no matter what we bring before God, that He loves us enough, that He truly will listen, and that He will be faithful and He will forgive us of that. And it doesn't matter what it's cost us, it doesn't matter how long it's been going on, it doesn't matter it doesn't even matter what it might cost us to be honest about it. Because listen, I know the consequences are still real, right? Now you got to understand that you may come in, you may have to confess something and be honest about something in front of God, but it still could cost you earthwise, right? Because the consequences, you know, are there. But I can tell you, I would much rather take some earthly consequences, take a good old earthly butt whooping, than to take an eternal separation from the one who loves me. And so maybe today it's time that you're just honest about it. You can sit right where you're at and just be honest with Him. You don't need me. Thank God that you don't need me, because I'm imperfect and I might mess it up. But right where you're at, you can confess it and allow Him to forgive it, and you can walk out of here different than you walked in. And I think if we're all honest in the room, we probably all got enough we can confess and still walk out of here different. Even if we've accepted Him as Savior before, whether we've asked Him, you know, even if we asked Him yesterday to forgive us of something else, today there might be something else that you need to just be honest about. But maybe it's time that we just get honest before Him and let Him do something in us that changes the world. Not just for today, but for eternity. God, today I thank you so much. God, that it does matter what we do. It absolutely does. Because as I look around the room and see all the faces in this place, God, I think about how you've created every single one of us special. And it matters what we do to be able to live out that purpose that you have for us. God, some of us have become so good at hiding behind the smiles that God, we don't even know what's real and what's not in our lives anymore. And so God, for those, I pray that you'll deliver them today. For those of us that have allowed the weight of our sin to become so heavy that it's carried us somewhere that we never wanted to go, and it's held us there so much longer than we ever wanted to be there, that God, today would be the day that that's confessed and forgiven and they are set free. God, I pray today would be a day of freedom.